Senior Power. This is Lynn McGregor.
And this is David Neely. And this next half hour of Senior Power will be filled with information and entertainment for
mature audiences only.
Our next guest is going to be what I call the quintessential American story. His name is Donato Tramudo, and he's an American healthcare executive who I think now may be retired, but that had basically got into healthcare for the right purpose, a great sense of purpose he had to helping people. And he has done so through a company that he was CEO of, Tivity Health, and he actually had his own health challenges growing up, which I believe might have led him to some of his great sensitivity to the needs of others. So having said that, we now welcome to Senior Power Radio, Donato Tramudo. Welcome to the show, Donato.
David, thank you very much. Very, very kind words. And I think I should probably just replace retirement with pre-tirement. I'm still as active and busy as I have ever been. But it's great to be here today. Thank you so much.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. Am I right that you are still affiliated? Are you still on the board with the eVillages, Health eVillages?
Yeah, so I'm the chairman founder of Health eVillages and also the chairman founder of the Tramudo Foundation. So I stepped down as CEO of Tivity to devote my time to those two organizations. So you're correct, David.
Well, you know, I don't want to, if it's uncomfortable for you, go through too much of your past, but we do know a little about it through a story that we did years ago in Maine Seniors Magazine. And am I right, though, you had some hearing problems and some thought it might have actually been a greater disability for you? It certainly was a challenge in your youth growing up. Could you, or are you comfortable sort of sharing that story with us?
No, absolutely. As you know, I published a book, my first book, in 2016, titled Life's Bulldog, the Success in Life and Business. And in that book, I highlight my struggles. I was 8 years old when I lost most of my hearing, and for 10 years endured an enormous amount of bullying and enormous amount of challenges by not being able to hear. And I think it's what brought me into healthcare and what has allowed me to use my platform today, my platform being that of compassion and understanding, if you will, the challenges of others and why I think I went into healthcare. But it was a very challenging experience. It's why, David, I think I'm focused on the new chronic condition of the 21st century, loneliness, because I endured for so many years a state of loneliness, and hearing loss is one of the key contributors to someone's ability to feel connected.
Oh, I can certainly understand that. It also affects, am I right, it affects your speech and what some people might consider to be your intelligence or mental acuity to the point where you are going to be bullied and made fun of.
Well, it's very interesting you say that, because once I had my hearing partially restored, it wasn't that I was lacking the intellectual capacity to learn. In the years that I was being bullied and, you know, friends and even family thought that I didn't have much potential. But when you have a hearing difficulty, it leads to a speech impediment. And I don't know, when I turned 17 and I had my sixth surgery, I don't know after that sixth surgery, when the hearing started to come back, whether I was more horrified at the fact that, I couldn't hear everything, or I was more horrified at the fact that I couldn't speak in a very fluent manner. But now, many years later, many decades later, you're hearing a very fluent individual speak, and that's been because of my commitment to improve every day, and it's been because others have been very supportive of helping me along the way. And I think in my second book, which will be out in December, it's on compassionate leadership, and I really do think what we need now, David, is more compassion and more kindness and an understanding that every single person, their life matters. And whether you're old or young, we need to take the time. And I thank you for what you did here today. You took the time to hear my story. And I think that's what's missing today. We need to just take the time and listen to the other person's story.
Donato, I think you'll really appreciate a song that was written by Noel Paul Stuckey called One-to-One Revolution. And it speaks just to that point that, you know, smile at a stranger, say hello, be kind to them. See if just one by one you can make a difference. Don't try and take the whole world on. Just one by one is the revolution song. And Noel Paul Stuckey, of course, to your point, has spoke just of this. I know so many other people that are talking about kindness and leadership and having the compassion, because a lot of our differences and disagreements are really just because we're not listening carefully to one another.
No, we're not. And, you know, I'm working with a number of people right now on loneliness. And the concern we have right now, loneliness is not just with the older people, it's with the younger people. We're coming out of a pandemic where, for the first time, every single person's life has been impacted one way or another. However, the increase in loneliness and the rate of suicide is among the young and the old. And when I say young, I mean between 5 and 10-year-olds. And as we get more to understanding the rationale behind that, it's really because people don't feel that their life is relevant. And I think the more we can flush out the relevancy of somebody's life, whether they're 75 years old or they're 10 years old, everyone has a state of wanting to be relevant. And I think that that's the next, you know, focus of my activities with this book, is to really increase the understanding that when you're still alive and still breathing, your life matters and your life is relevant. And I think if we can just focus every day to ask somebody, tell me your story, tell me about your life, imagine how wonderful, you know, the energy of this world could be.
Medicare is so confusing. I didn't know where to get help, but I wouldn't call a plumber in Arizona to fix my pipes in Maine. So don't call some out-of-state 800 number to navigate Medicare plans when your help is right here at home. The Senior Planning Center represents all Medicare Health and Part D plans. They have trusted professional experts in every county. You should call them for your free Medicare review.
Call 223-6565 today. That's 223-6565.
And now rejoining us is Donato Tramuto, former CEO of Tivity Health, author, and chair of the board for the Tramuto Foundation.
You did have a time frame in your life, in fact, I believe it was around 9-1-1, where you had made a decision, I think because of a toothache or something, to cancel or delay a flight. And subsequently, I mean, I'll let you tell the story, actually, Donato. Let me back out now and let you tell the story.
Well, thank you for sharing, you know, your understanding of that event. Again, in my book, Life's Bulldozer Moments, I talk about not only the loss of my hearing, but also the transformative event in my life, as I'm sure it's true for many. And that was on 9/11. I was scheduled to be on the second flight that went from Boston to Los Angeles because of a toothache on Monday, September 10th. I went to see my dentist near the Boston Logan Airport. And since I was there, I said to myself, maybe it's best I go out on the night of September 10th. But my two friends and their three-year-old, who were staying at our home in Algonquin with my partner and I, they were scheduled to go out with me on September 11th. They actually changed their flight to go out with me on September 11th. They were supposed to leave from Rhode Island. Well, I called them and said, let's go out on September 10th. And they said, Donato, we've already changed our flight once. We're not going to do it again. Thank you. Long and short, I went out on the evening of September 10th. I arrived in L.A. late at night. I was due to pick them up on September 11th. And now you know the rest of the story. It was a very painful moment for me. It was a moment that not only was I grief-stricken, but I also had an enormous amount of guilt. However, rather than have hatred and anger in my heart, I decided that I would do good, and my partner and I launched the Tremuto Foundation. In fact, we have the 20th gala of the founding of the foundation on September 11th. I'm fortunate that Katie Couric will be there. We'll have Matt McCoy, the actor, and members of the Kennedy family to discuss what September 11th, 2001 was all about. But at the same time, we will honor many organizations that we have helped over the last 20 years to deliver on their promise to make the world a more just and fair place. And so my point, David, is that out of challenging moments, you can either go down the path of being angry or have hatred in your heart, or you can go down the path that, you know, we chose, and that was to try to do good.
And good you have done, including with the Medicare Advantage plans you've offered up, and I believe you won the National Council on Aging Award for what you did by introducing silver sneakers.
Yeah, you know, I always kind of tally my life now, not by the awards that we have received, but by the reminder of what those awards tell us, and that is that there is still more to be accomplished. I thank you for that. However, I was fortunate to be the CEO of Tivity Health that had the signature Silver Sneakers program. My role as CEO was to get out and meet seniors, and I'm very, very happy to share with people that during my years as CEO, I met more than 10,000 seniors. And David, it was during those interactions that I learned that Silver Sneakers, the signature physical fitness program for seniors, wasn't necessarily about seniors bench pressing 150 pounds in the gym. What it was bringing them together with other seniors. And that's when the light bulb went off, that loneliness and social isolation is the new chronic.
And I want to thank you very much for being on today. Are there any final thoughts you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, the only thing I will share with everyone is that, listen, I've had a very wonderful life. I've been fortunate to be involved in many, many different things. But, you know, David, my mantra is, it makes no difference how much you do. What makes the difference is you did something. It makes no difference how much you give. What makes the difference is you gave. If everyone can really live by that mantra that we all have a responsibility to do our part, no matter how big or how small, it will make a difference. Thank you very much, my friend, for having me on your wonderful show here today.
So, David, if I want to listen to last week's episode, where do I go to do that?
All you have to do is go to seniorpower.me. That is seniorpower.me, short for Maine, seniorpower.me, and listen to your favorite episode of Senior Power. Lynn, that was interesting talking with Donato Tremuto about the Silver Sneaker Program, something that he created while at Tivity Health for the benefit of seniors, which is a nice segue to, oh, guess who we've got on next?
Sarah Irish.
She's one of the stars of the Senior Planning Center, and welcome, Sarah, to Senior Power.
Yay, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, we had, as we just discussed, we had a gentleman on, Donato Tremuto, who was the one that, with Tivity Health, had come up with the idea of Silver Sneakers, won the National Council on Aging Award for so doing. And he brought something up that I hadn't given a lot of thought prior to him discussing this, and that is that Silver Sneakers is not just there to benefit seniors for the, if you will, the physical activity and the exercise aspect, but for the socialization that comes with participating and getting out and mixing with people, and that part of their participation perhaps is as valuable is getting some of the fitness and exercise in. But you work with seniors all the time at the Senior Planning Center, and my guess is that you know there are a variety of programs and benefits that can come with today's Medicare health plans. Could you speak to some of those, Sarah?
So, yes. I mean, a lot of the different Medicare Advantage plans can come with that type of fitness benefit. Which is great. Like you said, it's not just for the health of getting out there, but it's for the socialization. I mean, after we've seen after last year, we miss people, and we need to be around them. It's a great feature in the Advantage plans.
Excellent point. And there are a variety of other benefits that come with the Medicare Advantage programs as well. What are some of the ones that you feel the seniors tend to either need the most or desire the most?
Well, the big three, which are the vision, dental, and hearing. I mean, a lot of seniors, and not just seniors, but need those types of services, as well as the fitness benefits. Sometimes they come with a over-the-counter card, which helps you with things like aspirin and, anything that you can get over-the-counter.
Now, you probably see this fairly often, where when folks come in, they have perhaps been online, or they might have talked to somebody about Medicare health plans, but it can be confusing. How do you usually start out with clients and trying to slowly help them through that Medicare maze?
Well, we do sort of like a Medicare 101, where we educate on what Medicare is, who was part of Medicare, how you qualify for certain things. There's lots of different questions we ask to make sure that we're getting you towards the right plan that's for you.
So sort of walk me through it. I mean, Medicare 101, I mean, most people, when they think of Medicare, it's just original Medicare they're thinking about, right? What is just original Medicare?
Original Medicare is A and B, Part A, Part B. Part A is basically your hospital stay, your room and board, and Part B is everything else, where Part B is going to, the Medicare is going to pay 80%, and you're going to pay 20%. So depending on whatever service you have, you'll pay the 20%. And at that point, that's usually when the Medicare Advantage plans become helpful, or a supplement plan can become helpful, because either the supplement plan can sometimes pick up those extras, or the Medicare Advantage has those already built into the plan. So there's also hospital indemnity plans that can go along with the Medicare Advantage plan. So there's lots of options for seniors once they actually can understand what they have for options. That's the big key. And there's a lot of information that you get a lot of phone calls, you get a lot of flyers, you get a lot of, and we're really here to try and make that an easier transition for seniors to get into Medicare.
Now, for the most part, though, are you finding that it's the aging in group that seems confused about it, or that there are folks who have been on Medicare for years that just weren't aware of the different types of plans?
Yes, all of the above. I think that when, you know, you are working in your younger life and you're paying into Medicare, you're paying into Social Security, I mean, you're just not thinking about those things. And then when it comes time, you just think like, oh, well, I've been paying this so long, I must be just getting this.
So for the most part, then, when they first come in, you do tell them about original Medicare, Part A, Part B, and that you need the Part D drug program, but that you also share with them, and my guess is part of this is the exploratory you do with their individual issues, like what meds they're on and whatnot.
It's needs-based, so all the Medicare Advantage plans, and even the supplement plans and the standalone drug plans, they're all really driven by what kind of medications you take as to how much it's going to cost you. And like, you could be a husband and wife, and you could have completely different Medicare Advantage plans because of the needs that you have with your medications. So it's not always just a one plan fits everybody. It's really as to what the needs are of that client.
So that some of these Medicare Advantage programs may have preferred pharmacies offering lower rates on the meds than others. Is that it?
That is correct. Most carriers are contracted with a pharmacy, and it's either standard or preferred. And the preferred gets the better pricing with the medications.
And to the extent that the people that come in there are already on Medicare, are some of them, when they first come in, are they bringing in all the meds that they're on, or do they share with you all their formulary, or is that something in some cases where you have to say, well, please, this is the information we'll need, you get to gather this and gather that?
Really, we rely heavily on the client knowing what they need, and anything they tell us about their health history can only help directing them into the right plan.
So that the formulary, as you say, the meds they're on really help direct a lot, because if you can lower their cost substantially on meds, that's a big part of it, because a lot of the coverage on many of the Medicare health plans are fairly similar otherwise, aren't they?
Yes, pretty much. I mean, there are some plans that offer a little bit more. I mean, because these companies are only allowed to keep so much money that they get from these plans from the consumer. So they have to put that extra money back into the plans, and that's why they get those things like the over-the-counter things and the, you know, the wellness wallet or some flex card of some sort. So these companies really put some meat into their plans.
And Sarah, thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it. You do good work.
Our next guest on Senior Power truly defines senior power, but maybe in a more literal sense. Years ago, Bob Crowley, a true survivor, was Maine's winner, but a winner of the CBS show Survivor. And Bob had won at age 57. Of course, he might be a couple years older now. And thank you, Bob, for joining our show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, when I say a few years older, that was, oh God, that's over 10 years ago now. But of course, you know, even at age 57, the question begs itself. It must have been physically challenging, and I'm wondering, even the litmus test of getting on the show, of some of what you went through from the very beginning of being, you know, asked to get on the show, and what some of the things were, the expectations they had of you.
Well, actually, when I was 57 years old, now that I'm 70, I have I've sort of stopped climbing trees unless I need to look at something. I was in very good shape. And as a matter of fact, I made a conscious effort to hide it so that they wouldn't realize that I could be a physical threat towards the end of the show.
Well, I imagine climbing trees is about as good for physical fitness as anything. So obviously that was a great, great preparation.
Actually, the interesting thing is the night before I flew out for the interviews, I had an emergency porcupine call in a 60-foot spruce tree that I couldn't wait for the week, till the end of the week at the end of the interview. So I had to go in the middle of the rain, go deal with the porcupine. And that was the first story I told the people that were doing casting when I got to the first interview.
Now I want to talk about some stuff you've done while back in Maine and what you continue to do, if you will, using your fame capital, quote unquote, to benefit others.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. What I didn't realize when I went on the show, and actually right after I got off the show, I didn't realize how many groups use survivors to raise money for different causes. And we, right after I was on Survivor, I started getting requests to speak for different places. But there was also a large demand for fundraisers. For one of the most incredible ones is Give Kids a World in Celebration, Florida, where they invite 100 survivors down there. We raise somewhere between $150,000 and $200,000 for the Make-A-Wish program. It's actually Give Kids a World, which is connected to the Make-A-Wish program. And that was one of the first fundraisers we went to. But we also have been able to go to, in California, we do a fundraiser for breast cancer, and we went to Illinois and did a fundraiser for Habitat for Humanity. And I had no idea when I first went on the show that, you know, that people would, that are huge fans of the show, would donate a whole lot of money. And all I have to do is sit there and sign my, you know, sign an autograph or talk, you know, sometimes they'll donate $50 or $200 to have breakfast with us when we're at one of these fundraisers. And it's been a great pleasure for Peggy and I to, and a great opportunity. We've been, we've gone to California, the Midwest, Florida. We even last actually it was 2 years ago, this COVID thing, sorry. It was 2 years ago, we went to South Africa to raise money for a Christian school. And it has been a great pleasure, but a great honor to be able to raise. We stopped keeping track. After the third year, I'd been keeping track of all the fundraisers we've been going to and how much the reality show people had raised. And it got well over $1 million within a year and a half. And then I just stopped keeping track. But it just, it's so refreshing to be part of a group of great people that are willing to just give a little bit of time here and there and raise a good deal of money for a lot of good causes.
Now tell me, because it sounds like when you get together with some of the other survivor winners or folks who have been in the program for these fundraisers, you make it sound like it's as easy as you just show up and you sign something and people are being generous with gifts to these organizations. But do they have you do anything that's at all like a survivor competition type of event?
Some of them do. Okay, I already proved myself when I was 57. I don't get involved in that, but I sit on the sidelines and cheer them on. They do have the fundraiser they have in Illinois now called the Survival Challenge. They already have the cast picked for this summer, but it is a realistic rendition of the show, and they make those people there go through some incredible rigors that are equivalent to being actually on the show. What I usually do is I go to those and applaud and encourage them, and then I sit down in my lawn chair and have a glass of lemonade and watch the game.
So you're not climbing trees anymore?
I gave up climbing trees 2 years ago, and then the fellow that I was training got very upset because a year ago he was having some issues and I threw a rope over and I climbed over the top of him. And he goes, I'm 30 years old, you're 69 years old, and you just climbed over the top of me. And so I got a, so that was technically the last time I was climbing. But I've been a lucky gentleman that I have been in such good physical shape for a good deal of all my life.
Well, you know, you were an inspiration to Maine seniors winning the Survival Series and on CBS, and you were an inspiration nationally to all seniors, given that you were the oldest to ever win that incredibly difficult and challenging adventure, as you refer to it as, and yet you're still climbing and an inspiration to seniors. So my guess is that we haven't heard the last from you and the good things you're going to do. I do appreciate greatly the fact that you've used your, like I say, fame capital for the benefit of so many others. That is what I call real senior power, and I thank you so much, Bob, for being on with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Senior Power.
My insurance kept going up and up and up and up.
I was getting a lot of mail about Medicare.
I could never have navigated through the loopholes.
Mainers across the state are finding help at Senior Planning Center, which represents all major Medicare health plans.
Senior Planning Center was a lifesaver.
Senior Planning Center did it all.
Gave me all my options and signed me up with what I needed within an hour.
Call 223-6565. 223-6565. Help when it matters most. Senior Planning Center.com.